This hour, the podcast is exclusively sponsored by my good friends at Advantage Gold. Advantage Gold is a five-star rated gold company with one-of-a-kind customer service. And when it comes to gold and precious metals, Advantage Gold is the only company I'll work with. Call Advantage Gold today and make sure you let them know that Mark Levin sent you. And now, let's begin.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
America, Mark Levin here. Our number, 877. I have an echo, Mr. Producer. 877-381-3811. Is this going to persist? Ah, now it's gone. Good job. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, where to start? There's so much crap flying around and slamming up against the wall by this administration and others, it's hard to know where to start cleaning. But start we will. And I want to start with Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is a communist. He's always been a communist. He's always been on the wrong side of liberty versus tyranny, good versus evil. He backed the Soviet Union against the United States. He backed Castro against the freedom fighters. He backed Nicaragua and other communist regimes. In our hemisphere, he's backed the communists. He's also backed the Palestinian terrorists. And he has said almost nothing about the Iranian terrorists. Because Bernie Sanders is a Marxist. Bernie Sanders pretends he's a democratic socialist. No, he's a Marxist. There's really no such thing as a democratic socialist any more than there's such a thing as a progressive. These are terms. This is phony nomenclature that they come up to try and conceal and camouflage what they are and what they believe. Bernie Sanders' ideology has resulted in the murder, the slaughter of over 100 million human beings. 25% of the population of Cambodia, 60 million people in China, 40 million people in Russia, tens of thousands in Cuba. It's going on now in Venezuela and Nicaragua. And it goes on and on and on. This is who Bernie Sanders is. He's not circumspect. He doesn't back off. He's an old communist. That's what he is. He's been wrong on everything. He's been anti-American on everything. So siding with Marxists, siding with terrorists, siding with genocidal regimes of every kind, while attacking his own country, while trashing his own country, while undermining his own country, and trying to paint you and me, the American people, and our ancestors as horrendous, awful, terrible human beings. And Bernie Sanders isn't even an honest communist. He's enriched himself. He's a multimillionaire. He doesn't live the life that he seeks to impose on everybody else. He left New York, and he lives in Vermont. I have nothing against Vermont. It's one of the nicest places you'll ever see. But why would he go to Vermont? Why doesn't he live the life that he says everybody else should live? That is, why doesn't he live in the inner cities of America? Why doesn't he enjoy the lifestyle that they have in communist China? Or communist Cuba? Or communist Venezuela? Or Islamist Iran? Or Islamist Gaza? No, he sits on his fat ass, comfortable in the United States of America, in Vermont, and your honor, your senator, spewing his murderous, genocidal propaganda. And ask yourselves why CNN and MSNBC constantly bring this old bag of red lard on their programs to advance his agenda. Why do they do that? Why don't they dismiss him as the communist, hateful man that he actually is? Because they agree with him. Biden embraces him. Biden has embraced his entire agenda. Biden is surrounded by communists associated with Bernie Sanders, other radicals associated with Obama. That's who's making these decisions. Then you have this guy, Anthony Blinken, whose parents are bought and paid for by George Soros. He's a Marxist. He's also a traitor. Oh, Mark, don't say these things. What do you mean? Say everything because it's true. So Bernie Sanders has learned from Chairman Mao. He's learned from Chairman Stalin. He's learned from Chairman Castro. He's learned from the communists that he has so idolized over the decades. And what has he learned? He's learned what Saul Alinsky taught so many students like Obama and Hillary Clinton. Target, personalize, and destroy. Target, personalize, and destroy. Target Netanyahu. Personalize Netanyahu. Destroy Netanyahu. Even though Bernie Sanders' problem is with the state of Israel. Even though Bernie Sanders' problem is with the Jews in Israel. And don't tell me he's a Jew. He was born a Jew, but he's no more a Jew than Rashida Tlaib, with whom he agrees and she with him. You all have people like this in your own faiths. Bernie Sanders puts his ideology and party ahead of everything else. Ahead of family, ahead of faith, ahead of country. And if it means trashing America to advance his ideology, he'll do it. He's done it his whole damn life, his useless, pathetic life. And here he is again. Here he is again on CNN with Dana Bash, who's also Jewish by birth. So she gives a platform. All the people they can interview on their Sunday show, they pick Bernie Sanders. Why? Because they know he's a Jew hater. He's an Israel hater. He's a Tlaib lover. He's an Islamist lover. He's a Marxist. So CNN puts him on. Why? To attack either Trump or Netanyahu. That's why. CNN is useless. It's pathetic. Look at their hosts. Look at their hosts. So, Dana Bash starts with a clip from Ilhan Omar. Ilhan Omar, a racist bigot, an America-hating Islamist, a Jew-hating anti-Semite. Dana Bash plays a clip from her and then invites Bernie Sanders on to discuss it? You're disgusting, Dana Bash. You're an embarrassment to the whole country. You're pathetic. That's why you get no ratings. On top of that, you're stupid. You have a low IQ, which is mandatory over there at CNN and MSNBC, and especially The View. Cut one, go.
I think it is really unfortunate that people don't care about the fact that all Jewish kids should be kept safe and that we should not have to tolerate anti-Semitism or bigotry for all Jewish students, whether they are pro-genocide or anti-genocide.
Stop. Whether they're pro-genocide. I'm in discussions now, almost negotiations, to play a video on my weekend show. And apparently the lawyers are looking at this. That's about 45 seconds long. Oh, maybe it's longer than that, actually. And it's not the worst videos of what took place on October 7th, of the hundreds of naked girls, the mass rapes, the bullet wounds to their genitalia, the slashing of their breasts, the removal of their hands and their feet. Do you realize this took place at that Nova Festival where these kids were there? 17, 18, 19, 20, 21? Liberal kids. Many of whom believe in a two-state solution, many of whom oppose Netanyahu, how they were brutalized and slaughtered. Isn't it interesting that cable networks don't want to show you that? They'll keep showing you loops of destruction of buildings in Gaza. Why won't they show us what took place? Why won't they show us? Now, whether they or anybody else will, I have posted it on my social sites, this relatively short clip. And you know what you're going to see? You're going to see kids who are the age of your kids, or maybe the age of your grandchildren, lying everywhere, dead, with bullet wounds to the back, bullet wounds to their face, bullet wounds to their chests. It reminds me of my own kids. I'm looking at it. Tears are coming down my face. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, look at this. Look at this, utterly unprovoked, utterly unprovoked. They send in a couple of thousand of these animals, these subhuman monsters, these sadistic animals who are raping and brutalizing and murdering on the spot, cold-blooded. These kids. If this happens anywhere in the world, we ought to be appalled by this. And the people who are responsible for this are hiding out in Rafah on the Gaza Strip. They're hiding out in tunnels with four well-armed top battalions of Palestinian terrorists. They're surrounded. The IDF has waited more than a month now to attack them because Biden and Blinken are not happy with the proposals that Israel is having to provide to our government to allow it to attack, to wipe these bastards off the face of the earth so they can enjoy their afterlife and their 72 virgins rather than raping and pillaging right here on the planet. And all I get from our meeting of Democrats are the lies. The very people who did this put out lies about civilian casualties. Now it's up to 35,000. It's a lie. 35,000? There's been a ceasefire for 5 weeks. And every statistician who's looked at this objectively has said it's not possible. And it's not. So why does this administration keep using those numbers? Why do Biden and Blinken use the numbers? Why does Nancy Pelosi use these numbers? Why does Bernie Sanders use these numbers? Why do CNN and MSNBC use these numbers? I'll tell you why. Because anti-Americanism and anti-Semitism, American hatred and Jew hatred, go hand in hand, and they go very, very deep into Bernie Sanders' very small cranium, as well as Dana Bash, Jake Tapper, and the other lowlives. They are loathsome. They are loathsome. for Dana Bash to set up the clip with Ilhan Omar and what she said. And then she asks a question like she's saying, these Jews, they're pro-genocide. Do you agree with that? She knows what Sanders is going to say. I'll prove it to you. Go.
Some Jewish students are pro-genocide. Are you comfortable with that?
I'm sorry, someone?
She said some Jewish students are pro-genocide. Is that something?
So let me ask you something, Dana, but why do you even play that? I mean, I'm playing it to expose you. But you're not playing it to expose her and these people because you brought in Bernie Sanders to respond to this. Bernie Sanders and Ilhan Omar stand hip to hip. But anyway, go ahead.
That.
Well, I don't know exactly. Look, what I think the essential point that Ilhan made is that we do not want to see anti-Semitism in this country. And I think the word genocide is something that is being determined by the International Court of Justice. But this
so
is
stop. So he wouldn't denounce her, did he, Mr. Producer? He didn't denounce her. So he's going to the International Court of Justice because the Democrats in this administration are using the ICC, which is a radical left-wing globalist so-called court in The Hague, where we have no representation and where we do not acknowledge any jurisdiction, and neither does Israel, because the radical left-wing prosecutor there, who's chosen by radical left-wing Europeans, Jew-hating, American-hating, Israeli-hating left-wing Europeans, are planning on issuing arrest warrants for the Prime Minister of Israel and his senior staff. And what has this administration done? What has it said? Almost nothing. It's left to the Speaker of the House. It's left to Republicans in the House, Republicans in the Senate. You don't hear any Democrats condemning this. Why? Because Netanyahu's the boogeyman. They use his name. They use his position. But what they're really saying is destroy the state of Israel. Our voters demand it. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Our once mighty dollars under siege from runaway inflation. For those still working, your paychecks buy less while costs for gas, food, cars, utilities skyrocket thanks to inflation. That's why I'm urging all my listeners to register for the upcoming Gold and Silver Summit hosted by our friends at Advantage Gold. It's a fantastic seminar. They'll teach you how to take steps to help guard your wealth from inflation using asset diversification into physical precious metals. Gold and silver hold intrinsic value that should remain untouched by government manipulation. Folks, don't wait for the Fed's reckless policies to completely devalue the dollar and steal your life savings. Call now while free registration is open. I'm telling you, this is a fantastic seminar. Call 800-900-8000 right now. The Gold and Silver Summit could provide the vital insights we need to protect our families. 800-900-8000. Tell them Mark Levin sent you. Performance may vary. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Always consult your financial and tax professional. I'm going to spend more time on Bernie Sanders so you know exactly who he is and why he's so prominent in the modern-day Democrat Party and in the Biden administration with his staff. As my friend Paul Kengor points out, who's an expert on this, Bernie Sanders was a formal presidential elector for the Trotskyite Socialist Workers Party in 1980. Most of America in 1980 was choosing between Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter, but not Bernie. He chose the Socialist Workers Party. He was smart enough not to join the party, as far as we know, so he could run for office as a so-called independent. But he was and is a longtime supporter of the Trotskyite Social Workers Party. No question whatsoever. No doubts about it. That was Bernie Sanders. He's a Trotskyite. He's a Trotskyite Marxist. You know what that means? He's one of the most fanatical of the Marxist ideologues. I've got more on Bernie when we return. Attention, fellow Americans. Mark Levin here with a warning and a solution. I feel like our country's being destroyed by out-of-control spending and debt thanks to Biden and the American Marxists. And your hard-earned savings and retirement could be at risk from their socialist schemes. That's why you should consider Advantage Gold, the best of the best, a U.S.-based company that specializes in helping everyday Americans protect their wealth. They have a simple solution to help you even potentially grow your wealth despite the attacks from Washington. I urge you to register for their upcoming Gold and Silver Summit. It's fabulous. A free online event where you'll learn tips to help safeguard your finances by diversifying into physical precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. Call them right now to sign up securely for this pivotal summit. It is crucial. Tell them Mark Levin sent you for a special bonus. Call 800-900-8000 right now. Performance may vary. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
Mark Levin, America's tyranny hunter. Call in now, 877-381-3811.
It's amazing how this guy, Bernie Sanders, gets away with this. Well, it's not really. The media. Media in his corner. This is what they do. I'm going to tell you about Bernie's Adventures in a Stalinist Kibbutz by Ron Radush. It's written in 2016 at PJ Media, February 6th, 2016. Ron Radush. Now that Bernie Sanders has become a serious candidate for president, it's inevitable the media will pay attention to every aspect of his life, which proved to be false. In 1963, when Sanders traveled to Israel to work on a kibbutz there, there were scores of American Jewish students who also volunteered, so it's rather strange that Sanders has consistently refused to tell the press about his time there and the kibbutz he worked on. When asked, and his campaign dodged the issue. Why would Sanders not answer a simple question about the kibbutz he worked on in 1963? Now we have the answer from the Times of Israel. In 1990, Sanders, who was preparing to assume his newly elected position as a member of the House, was interviewed by Israeli journalist Yossi Melman. Sanders told him that he visited Israel, quote, as a guest of the leftist Zionist Hashomer Hatzair movement and stayed at its affiliated kibbutz northeast of Haifa, unquote. Calling a kibbutz Sha'ir Hakim simply leftist does not sufficiently describe the ideology of Hashomer Hatzair members. At the time, most American students who were Zionists belonged to Habonim, a mainstream group affiliated with Israel's governing party, the Labor Party. Hashomer Hatzair, to the contrary, was the affiliate of Mapam, the coalition political group in Israel that united a few different left-wing groups into one political organization. By 1969, Hashomer Hatzair had entered into a unity pact with the Labor Party. Despite this, its own members remained left-wing socialist. Today, its descendants support Israel's far-left political party, Meretz. But in 1963, when Sanders worked on Hashomer's kibbutz, its members considered themselves Marxist Zionists, and they held a pro-Soviet orientation, which included supporting Soviet foreign policy. Their ideological orientation on Zionism and socialism came not from the Social Democrats of the Socialist International, who were strongly anti-communist and anti-fascist during the years of World War II, like Germany's Willy Brandt, but rather an unknown figure, a Zionist named Berkakov. He says, I knew members of Hashomer Hatzair in the same period that Bernie worked on their kibbutz. They would always urge me to read Borchakov's books. Although he passed away in 1917, too early to see the horrendous results of the Bolshevik Revolution, Borchakov's followers argued that he had proved that socialist Zionism had to be Marxist-Leninist. This is the group that Sanders hooked up with in 1963 on a kibbutz in Israel. Now, their only criticism of the official Israeli Communist Party was its refusal to see that Stalin was wrong to argue that Jews did not need their own nation and that they instead should work within their own countries to foment a communist revolution. By the way, you can check this guy out yourself, B-O-R-O-C-H-O-V. Another young person who gravitated to the group was Noam Chomsky. Now, he's the guy that's formed this Jewish folk group, by the way. Another Marxist group that's rioting and threatening on our college campuses and so forth. So that's Noam Chomsky, who told an interviewer, quote, "I like the kibbutz life and the kibbutz ideals." In a tablet interview by David Samuels, Chomsky said he had gravitated to the Hashmir Hatzair kibbutz, but could never actually join it. That was because in those days they were split between Stalinists and Trotskyites, and I was anti-Leninist. But he admired their commitment to a binational state and their efforts to create, quote, Arab-Jewish working-class cooperation, unquote, and, quote, a socialist, binationalist Palestine. A binational state would, in effect, have meant the end of Israel as a Jewish state. Now, you'll notice, this is where Blinken comes down and Soros. And shockingly enough, the Biden administration. Sanders, Chomsky, this whole viewpoint. Stalinist Trotskyite. And so you know why they hate the idea of an Israeli Jewish state, why they hate Netanyahu, who stands for his people. Since the news broke yesterday, he writes, and of course this is 8 years ago, few conservative websites have written about the importance of Sanders' chosen kibbutz. A frontpagemag.com Daniel Greenfield, great site, great writer, describes its origins and notes how it mourned the death of Joseph Stalin in 1953. Ironically, just as the Soviet dictator was preparing a major purge of all Soviet Jews in the so-called doctor's plot. In The American Thinker, a fantastic site, Thomas Lifson, a great guy, he also says that Sanders' stay at the Hashmir kibbutz, quote, is consistent with Sanders' honeymoon trip to the Soviet Union, as well as his later visits to Nicaragua and Cuba. These two articles have led writer Nathan Gutman in the Forward, which is a left-wing magazine, but nonetheless, to accuse the two conservatives of red-baiting from the right. He argues that while from today's perspective, Sanders' history in the kibbutz may seem damning, it did not at the time, because all Zionists know that Hashmir Hazer made worthwhile contributions to the building of Israel, especially in the, quote, pre-state Zionist military force, the Haganah. Gutman's main argument, however, is that Israel's guiding ideology at the time and its culture was socialist. He thereby makes no distinction between the moderate version of socialism held by Israeli Labor Party members like David Ben-Gurion and that of openly Stalinist Israelis who belong to Hashmir Hatzair. He does acknowledge that in 1973, the kibbutz Sanders attended was still a socialist heaven, quote-unquote, with communal sharing and regular singing of the Internationale. That's the Communist Internationale. Even Gutman can see that Sanders might have a hard time explaining all this to Americans, conservatives and liberals alike. And yet another article in the Forward, Naomi Zevlot, all the commies and socialists coming to Sanders' defense, you see. Naomi Zevlot writes that Hashmir Hatzair's kibbutz members learned valuable lessons about life and a political imperative to improve the life of others. Now, she acknowledged that Sanders' time there might be when he, quote, apparently sharpened his socialist ideals a half century ago. She adds that they had a strong admiration for the communist system in the Soviet Union. They heard about the Soviet gulags, but consider that news to be false reports from renegades. No wonder they proudly flew a red flag at outdoor kibbutz events. We also learned that relatively few people volunteered at the kibbutzim affiliated with Hashmir Hatzair before 1967, making Bernie Sanders' 1963 visitation a rare exception among volunteers. In other words, this guy Sanders was a hardcore communist Stalinist. You understand what I'm saying, America? Actually, there was much substantiated evidence that anyone who wanted could have used to learn about the existence of the gulags, as well as the other repressive aspects of Stalin's criminal rule. They chose not to know and to condemn all evidence as capitalist propaganda. Isn't it interesting? You hear the same from the Hitler Youth and others in our country. Oh, October 7th never happened. It never happened. Tlaib, Omar, Sanders' buddies. Clearly, to find all this out and inform American voters about the background of a potential presidential nominee is not red baiting. Using that term is a way for the left to keep Americans from dealing with this information. Sanders should tell us, he writes, when and why he moved away from his former beliefs. What made his change from the views he held in the 1960s? if he has. There's no need for him to hide the nature of the kibbutz he worked on. That's Bernie Sanders. A Stalinist, not just a communist. Not just an ideal, a Stalinist. And he was a Stalinist when everybody knew what Stalin had done to his people. When everybody knew what Stalin had done to other people. When everybody knew what Stalin had done to the Jews. Bernie Sanders in 1963 goes to Israel and joins a Stalinist kibbutz that everybody knew was a Stalinist kibbutz. How come Dana Bash didn't ask him about that? And this is why he's a hate-on for Israel. He is a hate-on for Benjamin Netanyahu. This is why he uses the language of a demagogue propagandist of the old Soviet Union, and I'm going to prove it to you right now. Cut to Mr. Producer on CNN yesterday with Dana Bash, Bernie Sanders, the Stalinist. Go.
And do I doubt for a moment that anti-Semitism exists and is growing in the United States, that is part, that exists among some people in the protest movement? Of course. But here is the reality.
See right? That? Well, of course. But let me tell you the reality. Wow, what a denunciation, right, Mr. Producer? Those are Bernie Sanders people. They're the Hitler Youth. Well, Mark, he's a Marxist. Really? Tell me the difference. The Hitler Youth, I said there's a fusion between the Marxists and the Islamists. That's what Bernie Sanders is. It's what he's become on the Islamist side, but he's a Stalinist. It's a fusion of the Stalinists and the Hitlerites. And that's Bernie Sanders, in my humble opinion. These are Sanders supporters, folks. These are Sanders voters. They're now Biden supporters and Biden voters. Well, they protest against him. They're going to vote for Biden. They're going to vote for Schumer. They're going to vote Democrat. None of them, not one of them, will vote Republican. Go on.
Netanyahu's right-wing, extremist, and racist government.
Why is his government racist? I don't know the last time Bernie Sanders been to Israel. It's the most diverse country on the face of the earth. Black people, brown people, Arabs, Palestinians, Jews of all backgrounds, all parts of the world. What does he mean he's a racist? But this is the language of a Stalinist. What a Stalinist does is he projects onto somebody else what he is, because it's really Sanders who's the racist and the bigot and the anti-Semite. It's Sanders who has a genocidal mindset and backs genocidal leaders of the past and present. It's Sanders who rejects Americanism. Property rights, free markets, individualism. It's Sanders who rejects it all. He's an apologist for Stalin. He's an apologist for Mao. He's an apologist for Castro. And he's an apologist today for the Islamo-Nazis that surround the state of Israel that's trying to defend itself. He stands arm in arm with Talib, with Omar. The worst of the worst. Go ahead.
Is unprecedented in the modern history of warfare. They have killed in the last 6.5 months 33,000 Palestinians, wounded 77,000, two-thirds of whom.
Is this not amazing that Dana Bash, sitting on her fat ass there at the constipated news network, doesn't challenge him on this? Is anybody surprised that Bernie Sanders is on American TV pushing the propaganda of terrorists who raped, murdered, and brutalized babies and little girls and families and still have American hostages? Even though there's video of this, CNN won't play the video. Bernie Sanders won't look at the video. 33,000. Wounded 77,000? For the 4 billionth time, I invite Bernie Sanders to come on this program and defend himself. Defend what he says. Defend who he is. Somebody needs to expose this red bastard. And come on this program, Mr. Tough Guy. Come on this program and confront me, man to man. You jerk, you filthy pig. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
My fellow Americans, we're living in very perilous economic times. Washington seems determined to bankrupt our nation with endless stimulus spending. As they devalue our dollar, hardworking Americans like you could lose everything. That's why I urge you strongly, register for the upcoming Gold and Silver Summit hosted by our friends at Advantage Gold. They'll teach you how to help guard your wealth using asset diversification into physical precious metals. Gold and silver can offer a defense against the dollar's devaluation, and the experts at Advantage Gold will explain how you can convert some of your savings into precious metals that can protect and potentially grow your wealth. With currency debasement from Washington and global uncertainty on the rise, gold and silver diversification can offer you some stability. Call 800-900-8000 right now to sign up. 800-900-8000 now. Tell them Mark Levin sent you. Performance may vary. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. You should always consult your financial and tax professional. I want to do more on Bernie next hour. There's another story I want to tell you about. The International Criminal Court. Who set up this International Criminal Court? The Europeans did. We don't support this globalist court. We don't export our sovereignty, our judicial authority, to a European globalist court with radical left-wing judges and a radical left-wing prosecutor who got his job in part with the support of Biden 2.5 years ago. The United States does not recognize the jurisdiction of this court. Neither does the state of Israel. Donald Trump made it abundantly clear if there's ever any effort by this court to sanction or issue arrest warrants against American citizens, especially our military, our diplomats, or any politicians, that court and the countries that back it will be sanctioned, and they will regret it. Joe Biden comes into office, and he says, I don't have the authority to recognize the jurisdiction of the court, but wink, wink, I accept the jurisdiction, at least from where I sit as president. Because Joe Biden is lawless. Joe Biden hates his country. Joe Biden has milked his name and the positions he's held to become wealthy. He's a psychopath. That's what he is. That's what he'll always be. And he has a lot in common with Bernie Sanders. Racist, bigot, anti-Semites. No wonder they get along so well. And no wonder Bernie Sanders and Obama is staffing Biden's government. The International Criminal Court is threatening to issue arrest warrants, criminal arrest warrants, against the elected Prime Minister of Israel and his senior staff. And I believe strongly that Biden and Blinken are behind it. Tell me, how many Democrats in the Senate and House have objected to this? I can't think of any, maybe Fetterman. How about the American media? What sucks at the you-know-what, the teeth of the Democrat Party? I said teeth. How many of them have objected, other than the Patriots on Fox and some of the other channels? None. None. And rather than tell this international criminal court, international thug court of leftist European anti-Semites and anti-Americans that if they pull anything like this, we will not tolerate it. Joe Biden has said nothing. Even his spokesidiot could barely say anything. Blinken has said nothing. Blinken, the Grim Reaper, he's going over to Israel again. Now, you know the Israelis are going, oh, my God, this SOB is coming here again. To do what? To threaten Israel and kiss the ass of every terrorist regime that surrounds Israel. That's what Blinken's good for. Nothing. He's a traitor. I've got a lot more to say, and I've got a lot more time after the break. But right now, I've only just begun. I'll be right back. This segment of the podcast is exclusively sponsored by Pure Talk. Pure Talk offers great coverage and can save your family money on your wireless bill every single month. Go to puretalk.com to find the plan that's right for you. Thank you again for listening, and thank you so much for this sponsorship, Pure Talk.
He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post,
deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811. Yo, 877-381-3811. We don't paint varnish on the truth around here, folks. Facts are facts, and the truth is the truth. Stalinist Bernie Sanders. An absolute communist pig. Always has been. There was a piece written about 5 years ago by our friend Professor Paul Kengor in the American Spectator, Bernie the Bolshevik Party Boy. And as I tell you all this, you have to ask yourself, why do CNN and MSNBC keep bringing this Stalinist back? They don't tell their listeners and their viewers his background. Of all the people to pick, Dana Bash picks him. Why? Because they hate Netanyahu and they hate Israel. They love Biden. And they love Blinken. They're party apparatchiks. That's why they're Stalinists. Kengor writes, amazing footage has been posted by the veteran left-wing magazine Forward. The video comes from Bernie Sanders' honeymoon to the Soviet Union in 1988, along with his bride. Isn't she beautiful, Mr. Producer? And other officials from Burlington, Vermont, where he was mayor. The footage shows a literally shirtless Bernie partying like a frat boy and swilling booze with the Bolsheviks while singing, what else, eh? Comrade Woody Guthrie's collectivist classic, This Land Is Your Land. Bernie and friends seemed right at home. The video is striking. It's a surreal scene evincing a primordial ambience, a room that must have smelled not only of bare-chested cavemanish communists, but of a Stali, sausages, and body odor. Uy. Bernie's band of democratic socialists, quote-unquote, will naturally find marvelously creative ways to excuse the spectacle. Yes, they'll try to turn the whole smelly thing against Bernie's detractors. Any rascally Republican who cries foul of the footage will be denounced as a modern-day Joe McCarthy. Hey, the left is the left. Liberals would throw a hissy fit if video was found of Elizabeth Warren in Indian headdress dancing the Kalinka at a vodka party in the Kremlin. But again, this Bernie gem was posted by the Forward under the eye-catching title, Footage of Shirtless Bernie Sanders Drunkenly Singing with the Soviets in 1988 Surfaces. And why is this significant beyond the obvious? Kengor says, let me offer some historical context, repeating what I've shared before. Bernie married his current wife, Jane, in 1988, and the two then headed for Mother Russia. They honeymooned in the USSR. Or at least it seemed to be a honeymoon to rational people. Bernie's apologists object to framing the sojourn as some sort of Russian romance for the future Democratic Party star who snatched 13 million votes in the 2016 primary. And I might add, is a Biden whisperer. What was it, Bernie? In October 2015, reporter Thomas Roberts asked Bernie point blank, did you go on your honeymoon to the Soviet Union? Sanders shrugged. Said, the fact is that I went to establish a sister city program with Yaroslavl, then in the Soviet Union, now an important city in Russia, which is still in existence today. The purpose of that trip was a sister city. Did it take place after my marriage? It did. Oh, okay, a-hole, like we're buying your crap. As Bernie's wife would attest, they did not only visit the grumpy city of Yaroslavl, but the party animals cruised the Volga en route to St. Petersburg and Moscow, on other undisclosed, quote-unquote, landmark sites. Lenin's tomb, perhaps? We went to St. Petersburg. We went to Moscow, too, fondly recalls Jane. Bernie dismissed as silly and absurd the notion the trip revealed him as some type of communist sympathizer. Yes, why would anyone think that? Nothing in Bernie's past would raise those red flags, would they? For the record, in this same period, Bernie was pilgrimage to Cuba and Nicaragua, to bask in the triumphs of La Revolucion there. A few years prior, 1980, when normal Americans were choosing between Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan for president, as I'm pointing out, And he says, I'm exempting John Brennan, Obama's CIA director, who voted for the Communist Party ticket of Gus Hall and Angela Davis. Bernie Sanders tossed his support to the Socialist Workers Party. Actually, as the Daily Beast reported, another left-wing rag, I might add, Sanders went so far as to have, quote, served as a presidential elector for the Socialist Workers Party in 1980. Pretty cool, huh? Sanders later fessed up in a 1988 television appearance. I was asked to put my name on the ballot, and I did. That's true. Oh, he's always in the wrong place at the wrong time, Bernie. But he lies like a good commie. He lies like a good Stalinist, doesn't he? No wonder he runs away when Fox News has a camera and has some questions. Not a lot changed from the good old days. After growing up in Brooklyn, Bernie began spreading his socialist writings, first landing at what Ron Radosh described as Stalinist kibbutz that I just talked to you about. In 1963 in Israel, Sanders worked on the Hashmir Hazir kibbutz, comprised of pro-Soviet members who considered themselves Marxist Zionists. After that, Sanders went to the University of Chicago. There he worked with the Young People's Socialist League, YSPL, the youth section of the Trotskyite Socialist Workers Party. It was a mistake, you know. He thought he was going to a bong party, and there it was. And so when it was noted during the 26th campaign that Bernie had honeymooned in the USSR 1 year before the Berlin Wall fell, well, more than a few Americans had their suspicions. And yet Bernie's cronies would sneer at such suspicions. They barked that this was a mere fact-finding trip, so essential to the good commerce of Mayor Sanders' Burlington enclave. How dare anyone think this was anything but good business practice? Well, as they say, let's go to the videotape. Took a look for yourself. Bernie seems to be intoxicated by the Soviet environs. Maybe he was simply trying to cut a deal and negotiate a partnership for a distillery in Burlington. Makes one wonder if there's more tape to come. Perhaps a shirtless Bernie and Bolshevik friends pounding their chest. They belt out the Internationale. Yet, our progressive friends will shout at us. That's a bunch of red-baiting borscht. Angry progressives can add this latest calamity to their list of lamentable examples of poor Sanders being red-baited by pig-headed right-wingers who just don't understand the wonders of democratic socialism. No doubt Bernie and his beautiful bride went to Moscow to preach free markets. A business transaction. Yeah, that's it, comrade. Imagine thinking anything else. So Bernie's the real deal. He's a Stalinist who then tries to cover his tracks. He's a Stalinist. He visited all the Stalinist sites. Well, of course, the old Soviet Union, Cuba, Nicaragua. And now he's out there trying to destroy the state of Israel as he's been trying to destroy the United States. As I've told you before, if you hate America, you hate Israel. And if you hate Israel, you hate America. And that's Bernie. And then he uses Hamas's numbers. 33,000 dead Palestinians, mostly women and children. 77,000, two-thirds of women and children have been injured, wounded. All lies. All filthy lies by a scum Stalinist. The people of Ramon apparently feel necessary to impose on the rest of the country. There's not a genocidal monster that Bernie Sanders hasn't supported, whether it's Mao, whether it's Stalin, whether it's Castro, whether it's Hugo Chavez. And now by attacking Netanyahu, it's his backdoor way of supporting the terrorists, including Iran. You don't hear him get on the Senate floor and rail against Iran. You don't hear him get on the Senate floor and demand the head of the Islamo-Nazi in Tehran. You don't hear him go to the Senate floor talking about the number of Iranians who've been slaughtered and tortured and raped by the Islamo-Nazi regime in Tehran. You don't hear a thing. You don't hear him go to the Senate floor and talk about all the innocent Palestinians who've been murdered and maimed by Hamas. Not once. He doesn't have figures for that because his friends, Hamas, haven't provided him with those figures. You don't hear him talk about the PLO and Arafat, another one of his buddies, and how many people they've slaughtered, or Hezbollah in Lebanon, how they assassinated the Christian president, took over the country, and are slaughtering people left and right. You don't hear that from Bernie Sanders. Not a friggin' word from this Marxist piece of crap. Nothing. Instead, it's Trump and Netanyahu. Because he's a Stalinist. That's why. Now, their boy Blinken, who's bought and paid for by George Soros. You see all these connections? They're not an accident, folks. People pay for these networks. They create these networks and these organizations. They promote these individuals like Malley, who negotiated our nuclear deal to ensure that Iran gets nukes. He was appointed envoy at the suggestion of Blinken by Biden. And they haven't done a damn thing to stop Iran from getting nukes. And they're going to have nukes, if not before, right after the election, it'll be announced. You watch. Then everybody, who knew this? Oh, anybody talk about it? Oh, wow. Must have been Trump's fault for getting out of the deal. No, the deal ensured that Iran would get nukes. Trump said Iran won't get nukes, not on my watch. But the wisdom of so many voters brought us Biden. You see? Biden. Biden, the international arsonist. The communist Chinese want Biden reelected. They want Biden reelected. Putin wants Biden reelected despite all the Democrat Party's best twisting and turning and pushing and pulling. The Islamo-Nazi regime in Iran never had it so good. They're getting billions and billions, rearmed themselves. They've destroyed all opposition among the people in Iran who want nothing to do with that government. They love Joe Biden. He's their boy. As do the terrorists that surround Israel. Hamas couldn't have a better friend that's trying to protect it from annihilation than Joe Biden and Blinken. Neither can the PLO, Abbas, a terrorist in his own right. Abbas, who effectively replaced Arafat, murdering American citizens and others. But no problem there. He's a moderate. He's a peace lover, we're told. Blinken assures us of this. And of course, Biden and Blinken take no responsibility for October 7th, for funding Iran, for rearming Iran, for giving the go-ahead. The go-ahead. How do you mean, Mark? Well, you don't fund and arm Iran for the fun of it. They take no responsibility. As Blinken flies, this guy ever stay home? As he flies off to Israel to threaten the Israelis, to pressure the Israelis. Well, he does nothing with Iran except fund them. Disgusting POS. He really is a traitor. This is the milieu. This is the toilet from which Sanders and Thomas Friedman and Robert Malley and Blinken. This is the sewer from which these monsters rise. From which these monsters rise. And now look what they've set loose in our own country. Hitler Youth. Hitler Youth. And it's spreading. Why? Because Biden won't lift a finger to stop his buddies in Qatar. Now we have a report on that. I hope to get to it tonight. If not, tomorrow, there's always tomorrow. Looks like his brother again, Jim, had business dealings with senior officials in Qatar. This explains a lot, doesn't it, America? And the media are very interested. Other than political, I haven't seen it anywhere. And on Capitol Hill, Chuck Schumer wants to hold immediate hearings. Oh, no, he doesn't. Oh, I see the Attorney General of the United States wants to launch an immediate criminal investigation. No, not so fast. Any DA in America? No DAs. Attorney General? No, nobody. Qatar. This pretend country with these inbreds who were appointed to run it. These swine who spend billions of dollars to brainwash our kids in colleges and universities. These swine who buy politicians on both sides of the aisle. These swine who buy lobbyists who have contributed $5 million to the Medal of Honors monument in Washington, D.C. What the hell is that? Oh, and they create new golf leagues. They create all this other stuff, tennis leagues, just to show they're really not terrorists. Just because they're the biggest funders of Hamas, just because the Hamas senior leadership is protected in Qatar, just because they run Al Jazeera, which is a Hitlerian propaganda operation. Ooh, Qatar. Do you know what Biden did quietly 3-4 months ago? He extended our military base there for 10 years. I wonder if his brother Jim had an interest in that. I don't know that he did. I'm not saying he did, but, you know, mobsters are mobsters, right? Although, to call the Bidens mobsters is to give a bad name to mobsters. These people use the government to enrich themselves, to destroy other people. Biden and Blinken have blood on their hands. Blood on their hands for what happened on October 7th. They paid for it. And now they are insisting that the Israelis not destroy the leadership of Hamas. One other thing. Blinken keeps saying the Israelis aren't doing enough to get food and medicine to Gaza. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to stop listening to the Goebbels-like rhetoric that comes out of this regime and educate yourselves. You can go online. Never before has this amount of food and medicine and water been provided to Gaza, ever. Ever. Never before has so much of it been stolen by Hamas, upwards of 70%, and resold to their own people at a profit. You know that, I won't call it a port, but whatever it is, the temporary portable port, I guess, that they're building, we're building, came under attack. You know who attacked it, Mr. Producer? The peaceful Palestinians. You have other Arab journalists pointing out what American journalists won't, that Hamas is actually murdering individuals who provide the food, the water, and the sustenance. They're murdering them. Israel has a mistake, and we hear about that for weeks. Hamas is literally murdering them, and we don't hear a thing. Go to memri.org, M-E-M-R-I.org. Go to camera.org, like the word camera, C-A-M-E-R-A.org. Go to the Middle East Institute. They're all there for you to look at. Real news, real facts. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries and maybe a quarter tank of gasoline. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can trade your phone or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company that shares our values, that supports our military and veterans, that creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Instead, they're right here with us. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, puretalk.com/LEVIN, and make the switch right now so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/Levin. Levin, L-E-V-I-N.
It's a very short segment here. We're going to move along, of course. There's so many sleazeballs with power and authority out there that we have to confront. You know, this is what the media used to do. But then again, they used to be honest. But I want to get into this a little bit more detail. And, of course, there's other stories out there, too. I want to get into this Jim Biden issue. We have Steven Spielberg, who's very busy trying to reelect Joe Biden. We have all kinds of sick bastards out there, and I'd be remiss if I didn't get to as many as I could. We'll be right back.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries and maybe a quarter tank of gasoline. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can trade your phone or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company that shares our values, that supports our military and veterans, that creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Instead, they're right here with us. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, puretalk.com/LEVIN, and make the switch right now so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/Levin, LEVIN.
They call him Mr. Right, Mr. Conservative, and Mr. Constitution. But you can call him Mark at 877-381-3811.
I want you to ask yourselves why we keep seeing looped video on cable and network TV of the Gaza Strip. And we see no video of October 7th. Oh, empty buildings. I'm not talking about empty buildings. There are video of the consequences of that horrendous, monstrous, subhuman terrorist attack. They're online. I put one up yesterday. Why won't they show this on networks and cable TV? Why won't they show what happened on October 7th? And by not showing what happened on October 7th, they're giving aid and comfort to the terrorists. They're giving aid and comfort to the Hitler Youth on our campuses. Why is it all so secret when it's available online? Why is it that we cannot see? You know, the funny thing is, and I've talked about this in the past, the great general Dwight David Eisenhower, he'd seen a lot of death in his life. He'd seen a lot in his life. But he wasn't prepared for what he saw at the Nazi death camps. He was not prepared for it. It literally made him sick to his stomach. And as one of these death camps, the people who were alive were saved. He brought in his generals, including Omar Bradley and Patton, and he insisted that the media come along. Insisted. Even the nascent TV media insisted they bring their cameras. I do not want this to be forgotten. Ever. Mankind needs to know what happened in this place. And you've seen it. You've seen these old black and white films. They're available everywhere. Never again. You need to see what took place here. We have the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. A similar, actually more expanded museum in Jerusalem. The death camps were not bulldozed over. They're there right now. For anybody who wants to go to see the ovens, the gas chambers, the mass graves, the sniper towers, the housing, see it all. And yet, when it comes to October 7th, we get tours through the kibbutzim. We get tours of the Nova Festival grounds. What we don't get is a picture, video, of what took place there. Bernie Sanders says 33,000 people have been killed by the Israelis. It's a lie. Where's the video? How many of them were Hamas terrorists? How many people did Hamas kill? Well, Hamas doesn't give out that number. But Bernie Sanders repeats he's not the only one. This administration does. The State Department does. The International Criminal Court does. Your media do. But they won't show you. They will not show you what took place on October 7th. You can see the death camps from the Third Reich. You can see the bulldozers bulldozing the bodies of emaciated Jews and others in the mass graves. You can see it all. But when it comes to October 7th, there's massive censorship going on in this country. On cable news, on network news, on surrogate news platforms. You don't see it on media. You don't see it on Media Matters. You don't see it anywhere, except if you look hard. Not the cable channels, not network news, not The View. Why? It's 6 months ago, for God's sakes. Why not? Not 80 years ago, not 85 years ago, 6 months ago. Where is it? Why won't they show it? There's a 47-minute videotape that was put together immediately after October 7th. Members of Congress have seen it. Diplomats have seen it. I understand it is so horrendous. It's video taken by these subhuman, sadistic mass murderers, laughing, raping, decapitating, burning people alive. You hear the screaming, you hear the begging, you watch people shot in cold blood, on and on and on. It's on the video. The enemy took the video. There's even other video. Less gruesome, but gruesome. I just put one on my social media sites. Where you see these young people. They're shot in the back, shot in the chest, they're shot in the face. One piled on top of another behind Coke machines and tables as they were preparing for their Nova festival. Just slaughtered where they stood. Can you imagine what went through their minds for these women? Over 300 women were brutally raped and murdered. Butchered. It's on video. Why don't they show that on our college campuses? But there's video that is, there's video that should be shown on television. Maybe not that video, but other video. Why won't they show it? Well, the Israelis don't want to show it. That's not true. And why would that matter to the media anyway? The American media listens to Hamas, not the Israelis. So why don't you play it, Jake Tapper and Dana Bash, and then ask Bernie Sanders questions? And what's with the missing video? 33,000 citizens murdered and 77,000 women and children? That's over 100,000 people. Can we see them? Can we see the graves? Can we see your statistics and exactly where you got them from? No, no, and no. No, no, no. October 7th was the worst slaughter of Jews since the Holocaust. Why won't they show us? Oh, it's in bad taste. It's in bad taste? It's inhuman what they did. But Israel's under attack from all sides. It's under attack diplomatically. It's under attack by the media. It's under attack by international globalist organizations. It's surrounded by enemies who want to do that to their entire population. Why are we hiding this? You know, I do not believe the Israelis don't want us to see it. I believe the American media do not want us to see it. Because then the whole ballgame changes. It's one thing to talk about what took place, which is bad enough. which is monstrous enough. It's another thing to see it with your own two eyes. Why won't they show it to us? Why won't these corporations, Comcast, Times Warner, all of them, why won't they show it to us? It is news, is it not? They keep showing us the buildings in Gaza. Looks like the same block over and over, but they keep showing us the buildings in Gaza. They don't show us the 100,000 people who've been killed and maimed in Gaza. Still waiting for that one. But we know of the video of October 7th. We know it. Because we don't have a Dwight Eisenhower today. We don't have a serious media today. In fact, in too many corners of the media, we have a media that is very evil and diabolical. Just like the Hitler Youth on our college campuses, many of them come right out of that same genre, right out of that same mindset. That's why. That's what's going on in your country today. And so we can keep hearing propagandists like John Kirby, who lied through Afghanistan, who should have been court-martialed. Oh, he's an admiral, don't you know? Admiral of what? The Titanic? Israel said they'll hold off on invading Rafah until we can share our concerns. Kirby has concerns about Israel destroying Hamas. Kirby has concerns. His taskmasters tell the number one propagandist since the Woodrow Wilson administration. They have concerns about the Israelis taking out the leaders of Hamas. They should survive after all this, don't you know? They should join with their other billionaire leaders, where they can organize again and attack Jews again and attack America, for that matter, and continue to send money into our universities and colleges. Yes. Where are all the people that talk about these long wars? They're never over. Israel wants to end its war and end it now. You know friggin' damn well, if somebody crossed our southern or northern border, and forget about even the numbers, came across those borders and raped and decapitated and murdered and shot in the genitalia and cut hands off and feet off. That's what's on the video. That's why they won't show it to you. Mass rapes, shooting women in the middle of rapes, burning little kids, tying them together with wires. Oh, yeah, I know why they won't show you. I know why they won't show you. Because you'll never forget it. It'll make you sick to your stomach for the rest of your life. This is humanity versus inhumanity. It's not even Jew versus Palestinian. It's not even American versus anybody. This is inhumanity. This is the devil. This is the devil's work. This is evil. Evil. That's why they won't show it to you. Not even that which is more viewable. They won't show it to you. And I am challenging Bernie Sanders right now, and I'm challenging CNN and MSNBC right now. I am challenging the Biden administration right now. Show us the video of 77,000 women and children being injured, and now it's 35,000 dead bodies. Show it to us. And show us the basis for your allegations. You know, like when you're in second grade, you were taught by your teacher, you got to show me your work. Remember that, Mr. Producer? Got to show me the work. Show us the work. They won't show us the work. They can't show us the work. They're lying SOBs. It's really pretty bad. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Now.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries and maybe a quarter tank of gasoline. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can trade your phone or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company that shares our values, that supports our military and veterans, that creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Instead, they're right here with us. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, puretalk.com/LEVIN, and make the switch right now so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/Levin. LEVIN.
God bless President Trump. I love this man. Even while he's facing his own Armageddon in an outrageous Stalinist-like trial in front of a sickeningly political judge, a Soros prosecutor. This man has time to tweet out his defense of the state of Israel against the International Criminal Court. He has said more against it than Joe Biden and Blinken combined. And we're not interested in their spokes idiots. We want to know what they say. It's so hard for them to denounce the Hitler Youth on our college campuses. It's so hard for them to denounce the International Criminal Court of globalist, leftist, terrorist-supporting frauds. So hard for them to denounce it. While Blinken's flying over to Israel again to pressure Israel, to tell Israel to surrender to the people who slaughtered their youth. While he kisses the ass of every terrorist regime and group, directly and indirectly, that he can find over there. What a sickening traitor. Our Power Hour, Powerful Hour is next. Stick with us. I'll be right back. In today's digital age, where cyber threats loom larger than ever, safeguarding your personal information is paramount. So why is Congress considering a law that could put your credit card data at greater risk of being hacked and exposed to foreign networks? This Durbin-Marshall credit card bill could jeopardize your financial data, make it more susceptible to cyber intrusions. It's a controversial bill that proposes a shift in billions of dollars worth of consumer transactions to payment networks that lack the robust security measures consumers rely on. Who could possibly want that? Well, the answer? Woke corporate megastores seeking to inflate their multi-billion dollar profit margins. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill will undermine our safe and convenient payment systems and endanger your data security. It's time to take a stand. Visit electronicpaymentscoalition.org. Make your voice heard. Tell your senators to oppose the radical Durbin-Marshall credit card bill, paid for by the Electronic Payments Coalition.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811. 877-381-3811. In many ways, Mike Johnson is far more presidential than Joe Biden. And today he slammed the International Criminal Court. He slammed the Biden administration. He called the reported arrest warrants against Netanyahu and other senior Israeli officials illegitimate. He said, instead of wrongly targeting Israel, the ICC should redirect its focus to Hamas and other Iran-aligned terror groups and prosecute them for engaging in horrific war crimes. He said it is disgraceful that the International Criminal Court is reportedly planning to issue baseless and illegitimate arrest warrants against Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu and other senior Israeli officials. He said such a lawless action by the ICC would directly undermine American national security interests. If unchallenged, he said, by the Biden administration, the ICC could create and assume unprecedented power to issue arrest warrants against American political leaders, American diplomats, and American military personnel, thereby endangering our country's sovereign authority. So he lays down the law. You know, we have a chairman of a committee in the House, this guy Mike McCall. He's always too little too late. He hasn't put out a statement. The speaker is fantastic. He puts out a statement. Others are doing what they can. Here's this guy McCall. He sits there on his ass. He licks his finger to see where the wind's going. He's got all kinds of buddies in the Biden administration and the State Department and the Defense Department. And while he goes on and on that we're not funding our allies, which I support, of course, here we have an ally in need of some statesmanship, some leadership. And where's Mike McCall? He's nowhere. Mike, you out there? Mr. Producer, contact Mr. McCall's office. See if he'll come on the program tomorrow, would you? Tell him I want to talk to him about the International Criminal Court and what he and his committee are doing now, immediately, to prevent what's about to take place and to put pressure on the Biden administration. I want to know what this chairman is doing. We'd love to talk to him tomorrow. Fund manager indicates Jim Biden was in business with Qatari officials. Matter of fact, you find the most loathsome, inhumane monsters on the face of the earth, and the Biden family's done business with them. The Biden family's done business with them. New details about, this is Politico, about Jim Biden's foreign fundraising efforts are spilling out in a Kentucky bankruptcy court, where recent testimony indicates that President Joe Biden's brother partnered with Qatari government officials. Now, this is the Qatari government that's funding Hamas and protecting their billionaire leaders in his quest to find money for U.S. healthcare ventures. The sworn testimony by fund manager Michael Lewitt, a former business partner Jim Biden's, attests that two companies that facilitated the efforts were part-owned by, quote, members of the Qatari government, unquote. One company named in the testimony partnered directly with Jim Biden in the multi-year fundraising efforts. The second company provided financial backing for a series of loans that a hospital chain paid Jim Biden to arrange, according to documents and testimony Lewitt submitted in the course of the federal bankruptcy proceedings. If substantiated, the alleged arrangements would constitute some of the closest known financial links between a relative of President Joe Biden and a foreign government. You believe this crap, folks? Qatar is a terrorist country. No wonder Biden extended our military lease there by 10 years rather than pulling out altogether. No wonder Biden uses Qatar to negotiate with its client terrorists, Hamas, on the release of American citizens and Israeli citizens. Next thing you know, Biden will be using Hamas to negotiate with Hamas. The alleged arrangements stem from an effort by Jim Biden to... So you got Hunter, you got Jim, but Joe doesn't know from anything, you know. He just has a fancy classic car, two mansions, one on the ocean in Rehoboth Beach, one with acres of land all around him, earning a senator's salary. He's a crook. In addition to being a swine, he's a crook. Public records and emails obtained by Politico offer a window on fundraising efforts in which Jim Biden invoked his ties to older brother Joe and sought workarounds to restrictions on international money movements. Transactions related to the efforts are also at the heart of a recently settled fraud case brought by the SEC and are being scrutinized as part of a federal criminal investigation in South Florida. The idea there's not a special counsel investigating the entire Biden crime family
is so sickening, so shameful. Much about the efforts remain unknown in the White House, the Qatari embassy, and a representative for Jim Biden all did not respond to requests for comment for this story. Jim Biden, why wouldn't the White House comment and say, we don't know anything about it? Joe Biden wasn't involved. See, they can't. Jim Biden suggested to congressional investigators in February that his fundraising efforts stalled for lack of viable projects to back, but the previously unreported testimony by fund manager Michael Lewitt about the ownership of the two companies, the Platinum Group USA and Obermeyer Engineering Consulting, indicates that Jim Biden forged closer ties to Qatar's government than previously understood. And he never said anything to Joe. No, nobody ever tells anything to Joe. They use his name. They use his office. Joe gets on the phone. Joe goes golfing and dinner with these. But he doesn't know anything, Joe. He's a liar. He's a psychopath. Joe Biden is a psychopath. Lewitt, a former business partner, Jim Biden's likely to face questions about the efforts. Excuse me. When he sits for a planned interview with House Impeachment Inquiry investigators. By the way, can I say something as an aside here, folks? You know, TV show after TV show talk about this impeachment inquiry on Biden. You had guest after guest, chairman after chairman, information. Oh, man, we're going to go on and on. And there's nothing being done. Nothing. Except from one host, me. I'm also the only host probably that doesn't go over polls every day. Look at this poll, look at that poll, for two reasons. Number one, they're often wrong. And number two, I want our people to vote. So even if the polls are good, so what? We need to win. And if we can win, that's great. And if we can win like by a landslide, we'll save the country. A poll today doesn't mean anything to me. When are we going to learn this? Remember the great polls of the off-year election? They were a joke. So my view is, get organized. Get ready to fight. Anyway, this is a very long article on Jim Biden, Joe Biden's brother. So between Jim and Hunter and the rest of the family, the idea there's no special counsel is unbelievable. The idea that the media don't give a damn, this is Politico. Great. Any follow-up by anybody on anything? No. No, it's hiding with the videos of October 7th. We're not, you know, we can't show this. It's too much. When I return scheduled, I rarely ever do this because sometimes these guys just forget or they get bogged down or whatever happens with their cell phones, but I'll say it anyway. Scheduled, Senator Ted Cruz. We'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
It's a pleasure to have our friend Senator Ted Cruz on with us. Ted Cruz, I understand that that people came to your home unsolicited again, yelling things and calling you names and so forth. What happened there, Ted?
Well, Mark, that's right. That's been happening for 3 months straight. So every Saturday morning at 7 a.m., a group of pro-Hamas protesters shows up outside my house, and they've got cowbells. They're blowing whistles. They're screaming at the top of their lungs, and they're there to wake up, number one, my kids, but also my neighbors, their kids. I've got neighbors with young children, and they're doing it every Saturday at 7 a.m. They've also come multiple Friday nights in the evening. This Friday night, they were there until 11 p.m., screaming at the top of their lungs, banging drums, making noise. I will tell you, one of my neighbors who has young kids went out and asked the police officers to do something about it. and the anti-Israel, pro-Hamas protesters began screaming at this mom, cursing at her and using vulgar profanities. And ultimately, it led Friday night to two people being arrested, but that's the first time it's escalated to that level.
Every week this is occurring at your home?
7 a.m., bright and early. And I'll tell you, Mark, that they're showing up with a regularity, and it's the same people. That to me, it is clear somebody's paying for this. This is a job. These are paid protesters. This is not an organic or spontaneous event. There's real money that is going behind this regular protest, and it's designed to be harassing. It's designed to wake my teenage daughters up. It's designed to wake up my neighbors and their children. And I suspect it is the same people who are paying many of the protesters we're seeing on college campuses across the country. There's clearly a lot of money devoted to pushing this anti-Semitic rage, this anti-Israel rage, and we're seeing it manifested all over the country.
You know, Ted Cruz, talking about this anti-Semitism, I think it comes from the top. The message Biden and Blinken keep sending that, you know, Israel's not doing enough to feed the Palestinians in Gaza, when in fact they're doing numbers that are actually unheard of, while Hamas is stealing the food and selling it. When they talk about Israel committing acts of genocide, Bernie Sanders, he's a Marxist, and others saying that sort of thing, the Democrat Party and the media regurgitating Hamas's outrageous numbers on civilian casualties. When the Democrat Party complex puts forward a scenario that is filled with blood libels and so forth, in many ways that trickles down, doesn't it, into colleges and universities?
That is absolutely right, and it's a real problem the Democrat Party now, which is the Democrat Party is controlled by a rabidly anti-Israel extreme, and there's the Squad, and the Squad are notorious. They don't hide their hatred of Israel. They don't hide their anti-Semitism. But the problem is a lot broader than the Squad. It's easy to focus on the Squad and AOC and Ilhan Omar and Tlaib, but to neglect that the problem is the so-called mainstream leadership of the Democrat Party. Look, in the last few days, AOC stood up next to Joe Biden and explicitly defended the pro-Hamas protesters at Columbia and NYU and Yale. She made clear that she stands with the people who hate Israel and hate Jews. And Joe Biden was standing right next to her, grinning ear to ear. We see it was not the Squad, it was Chuck Schumer that stood on the Senate floor and demanded that the elected leader of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, be thrown out of office. It was not the Squad, it was Nancy Pelosi who echoed that same call, that Pelosi be thrown out of office, and who said in writing, America should cut off military funds to Israel. And this problem of hatred of Israel and anti-Semitism is real, and it is right now paralyzing the Democrat Party. And you know, I'll actually recount a story from someone you know well, and it is an article in Tablet magazine by your wife. Entitled The President's War Against the Jews, and it's a fabulous article, and anyone who hadn't read it, you should read it. But it's a story that Julie tells that is really powerful that I actually didn't know until I read her article, which is in 1982, Joe Biden, as a senator on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, was speaking with the then Prime Minister of Israel, Menachem Begin, and threatening Israel in 1982, so more than 40 years ago, Biden was threatening Israel and threatening to cut off U.S. aid if Israel did not stop its, quote, settlements in Judea and Samaria. And Menachem Begin replied, quote, "Don't threaten us with cutting off your aid. It will not work. I am not a Jew with trembling knees. I am a proud Jew with 3,700 years of civilized history. Nobody came to our aid when we were dying in the gas chambers and ovens. Nobody came to our aid when we were striving to create our country. We paid for it. We fought for it. We died for it. We will stand by our principles. We will defend them. And when necessary, we will die for them again, with or without your aid. That was over 40 years ago. Joe Biden was pulling the same garbage against Israel that he's doing right now from the White House.
And Menachem Begin fought Hitler. He fought Stalin, and he fought the British in 1947. Let me ask you a question. If the same vote were up in 1947 at the UN to create this state of Israel out of ancient Israel, would it pass?
There's no way it would pass today. On the Security Council, you would get Russia and China would veto it, but you might well have the United Kingdom and France veto it. And it's not even clear the Biden administration that America would support it. We look at the resolution the UN just recently passed that the Biden administration effectively orchestrated, that all but condemned Israel, that called for an immediate ceasefire. And repeatedly, the Biden administration, when faced with a battle between the nation of Israel and genocidal Hamas terrorists, had sided with the terrorists. Their message, literally, when October 7th was happening, a grotesque massacre, the worst single-day slaughter of Jews since the Holocaust, while that was going on, the Biden State Department tweeted out, calling on Israel, do not retaliate, do not strike back. While 1,200 people are being murdered and women and little girls are being raped, the immediate reaction of the Biden State Department was Israel, do nothing. I called that out at 3 in the morning when they were saying that. They deleted that tweet. The next day, Tony Blinken, the Biden Secretary of State, said the same damn thing. He sent out another tweet saying he'd just been talking with a Turkish foreign minister, and they agreed Israel must not retaliate. I do not understand these radicals in the Democrat Party now that, given a choice between genocidal maniacs and terrorists and the state of Israel that is our strong ally in fighting to defend itself, they choose Hamas.
Ted Cruz, we want to carry over you the pilot of the hour. People want to help Ted Cruz. Where do they go, my friend?
It's TedCruz.org, TedCruz.org. Schumer and Soros are spending $100 million trying to beat me. I need your help, so please come to TedCruz.org.
And we're going to get into that more, Mr. Producer. Put that on our sites, please. We'll be right back.
Mark Levin, the funder on the right. Call in now, 877-381-3811.
Ted Cruz, why is it important that the Biden administration, Blinken, speak out strongly? And a matter of fact, congressional leaders, Republicans, speak out strongly as you have, some others have, as the Speaker has, but not a lot of Democrats on this effort by the International Criminal Court, which is really a bunch of European leftist globalists, potentially issuing an arrest warrant against the Prime Minister of Israel and his senior staff. Why is that dangerous for America?
It is extraordinary, and it's incredibly dangerous. The International Criminal Court is threatening to issue arrest warrants for Prime Minister Netanyahu and for senior members of the Israeli government. Think about this for a moment. An international tribunal looks at this conflict and does not decide that the criminals are the Hamas terrorists who murdered 1,200 civilians, does not decide that the criminals are the people who raped women in public streets, who raped children, who massacred infants. And I will tell you, I've seen the videos of these atrocities. It is stomach-turning. It is sickening what these monsters did. And by the way, they didn't hide it. They made videos and put them out. They celebrated. These Hamas terrorists celebrated their atrocities. And yet, the International Criminal Court, there are so many anti-Semites who hate Israel that they've decided that Israel, for the crime of defending itself, for the crime of striking back at the Hamas terrorists, and by the way, doing so with enormous efforts to protect Palestinian civilian lives. I mean, the irony of the charges of the left is there's no military on the face of the earth that does more to protect civilians than the Israeli military. And the reason that there are tragically Palestinian civilian casualties is because Hamas wants Palestinians to die. They deliberately use Palestinians as human shields. Hamas put its military headquarters in the basement of a hospital. Why? To use every Palestinian patient in that hospital as a human shield, and to put Israel in a choice, a binary choice. Either number one, they decline to attack the hospital and the military base, and they let Hamas continue to wage war, or two, even better from Hamas's perspective, they do attack the military headquarters, and the result is dead Palestinian mothers and babies, which is what Hamas wants, to let the useful idiots at CNN and in the Democrat Party and on the International Criminal Court use that to target Israel. It is grotesque. It is wrong. And if the International Criminal Court follows through on that, understand it is just a tiny hop, skip, and a jump to the International Criminal Court issuing arrest warrants for the President of the United States, for the Secretary of Defense, for the American military, when the leftists at the ICC decide they don't like what America's doing. That's not what that court exists to do. And I will say this, if the ICC follows through on this threat, they should expect the United States to sanction every member of that court, to sanction their staff, and to use every tool we have to fight back, because this is a grotesque act of lawfare, of using international law to wage war against Israel because they hate Israel, and that is their abiding passion.
Brilliantly put, but it is amazing the silence from this administration, isn't it? I mean, Biden and Blinken, they could well be behind it as far as I know, because, you know, silence in a matter like this is complicity, is it not?
It absolutely is, and your speculation that they could be behind it, I think is quite reasonable. At every single stage, the Biden administration has worked to undermine Israel. This is the most anti-Israel administration in American history. And the irony is, today's Democrat Party is so radicalized that no matter what they do to undermine Israel, when Chuck Schumer called for Benjamin Netanyahu, the democratically elected leader of Israel, to be thrown out, the Biden White House cheered him on, said they'd read the speech beforehand and thought it was terrific. And yet, for the radicals in the Democrat Party, that is not enough. That they want them to full on side with and support the Hamas terrorists. Look, the Biden administration keeps sanctioning Israelis in Israel, but not sanctioning Hamas terrorists. They keep sending billions to Iran that go to Hamas and Hezbollah. They keep sending millions to Gaza that goes to Hamas. They literally are giving money to the terrorists. And this administration systematically undermines Israel. And yet, as I said, for the crazy left-wing base, it's not enough. You know, I'm told there's a joke in Jerusalem that Schumer's speech demanding Netanyahu be thrown out was really driven by the two-state solution, the two states being Michigan and Nevada. Mm-hmm. And it is simple domestic politics that is driving the Democrat Party to decide they are the enemies of Israel. And it is sad, and frankly, it's dangerous, Mark. You know, for a long time, there was bipartisan support of Israel, and today's Democrats are so radicalized, they're undermining that every single day.
Now tell us about your campaign, what you're up against, and how we can help you, because we can't afford to lose your seat.
Well, listen, the state of Texas, the left has put a giant bullseye on our state, and it's not complicated. If you flip Texas, the country is lost, and they know that. My last reelection in 2018 was, at the time, it was the most expensive Senate race in U.S. history. I was outspent 3-1. The Democrats flooded cash into this race, and I ended up winning by less than 3 points. It was 2.6%. It was incredibly close. That is why Chuck Schumer has said, Texas, that I am his number one target. The Democrats are going to spend between $100 and $150 million in the state of Texas. My Democrat opponent is a hard left Democrat congressman. He's voted repeatedly in favor of open borders, repeatedly in favor of letting criminals, violent criminals, out of jail.
He's repeatedly advocated sending money to Gaza that will go to Hamas instead of standing with Israel. And yet he is dramatically outraising Beto O'Rourke by opponent in 2018. On top of that, George Soros is already flooding millions into the state of Texas, the most he's ever spent. And Barack Obama just a few weeks ago sent out a map directing Democrats target Texas, target me in particular. And so if you don't want to see Schumer and Obama and Biden and Soros succeed in taking me out, and their calculus is simple, they gain 3 points in Texas and they win, then I ask you to please come to tedcruz.org, come there right now at tedcruz.org and make a contribution, $25, $50, $100. Maybe you can do $500 or $1,000. But the way we stand up to $100 million from Chuck Schumer and the Democrats, our patriots across Texas and across the country, going to tedcruz.org and stepping up and saying, we're going to stand and fight to defend this country together.
This is a very, very important race, folks. If you're in the car and you couldn't write down that website, we provide it on all my social sites and so forth. I know the economy's tough, folks. We can't afford to lose Texas. We can't afford to lose Ted Cruz. And they know this. That's why they're going to flood that state with an enormous amount of money. It's a very expensive state to run in with all the metropolitan areas and so forth. And they're trying to swamp Ted, overwhelm him. They will lie about Ted. And, of course, they will build up their candidate and pretend that he's something that he's not. He's a leftist. He's not even that bright. He will fall in line with the Democrat Party. He will be a Schumerite. He'll be a Bidenite. And if we lose Texas, I mean, I'm telling you, seriously, that's going to be a bad election night. So please dig deeply if you can. Do whatever you can. Go to tedcruz.org. 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 See, I'll do it for you. Go to tedcruz.org. We want to have one of our little mini Levin sessions here, where I call all you Levinites out there to help our friend Ted. We're going to have a really big one in a few months, but right now, this is a Levin surge. Just anything you can do, let's help our man Ted. And again, we will do this in a much more proper way in a few months, Senator. So we wish you all the best. Thank you for fighting as you do all the time.
Thank you, my friend. God bless. And keep speaking the truth fearlessly and without waver.
You too, man. God bless you. Ted Cruz is the man. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
You know, it's amazing. I've been doing this now 3 hours today, and I forgot to mention, I will be on Hannity tonight at 9:20 p.m. Eastern Time. In other words, in 30 minutes. I'll be on Hannity tonight on Fox, 9:20 p.m. Eastern Time. By my calculation, that's 6:20 p.m. Pacific. By my calculation, that's 8:20 p.m. Central, and you know all the other times, tonight. Hope you won't miss it. Actress Susan Sarandon. This is Hollywood. This is the left in Hollywood. This is from the Jerusalem Post. Actress Susan Sarandon was confronted by social media user Karen Picker in a video shared 4 days ago where she denied Hamas's October 7 atrocities and defended the terror group's decision to reject multiple ceasefire agreements. As the singer and songwriter of the song Ceasefire Now, do you know Hamas rejected every ceasefire agreement since October 7? Picker asked Sarandon in response. Sarandon answered, do you know why? Why, Picker prompted. Because they're terrible deals. Palestine is not Hamas. This is exactly why I'm explaining over and over again why these videos need to be played on cable and network TV. Perhaps not the most horrendous, but there's so many that can be played and should be played that are horrendous enough. But I feel they should all be played. Obviously, they should be played at an appropriate time, and they should be played with appropriate warning.
But this idea, the oppressed and the oppressor that everybody's talking about since I wrote my book, American Marxism, and pointed out that that's what's taking place in our country and other countries. Hey, I have an idea. It's the oppressed versus the oppressor. Anyway, this needs to change. The Hitler youth on our college campuses not only need to have their own grants, scholarships defunded, need to make sure that they don't get any student loan forgiveness as the unconstitutional Joe Biden plows through our society. But these colleges themselves need to be defunded by the feds and the states, particularly in Republican states that are patriotic, blue states not so much, obviously. All this is taking place in blue cities, pretty much. Biden famously lied about being arrested in South Africa, writes the Washington Free Beacon. His use of taxpayer dollars on the trip also brought scrutiny, documents show. Today, Joe Biden's 1976 Africa junket is best remembered as the scene for the president's discredited claim that he was arrested on the streets of Soweto. In a part, is this guy mentally, pathologically sick or what? At the time, though, the trip generated scrutiny for another reason. Biden's use of federal funds and a decision to have his brother tag along in lieu of the staff. Biden's political rivals claimed the trip highlighted the senator's corrupt tendencies. The trip even drew the eyes of the State Department, where Henry Kissinger spent his last day as secretary combing over Biden's receipts, previously unreported State Department cable show. Senator Joseph Biden traveled with congressional delegation Charles Diggs of Michigan, would appreciate embassy cabling amounts returned and pouching his Xerox copies of receipts. It goes on anyway in exquisite detail. Joe Biden, with his brother, ripped off the American taxpayer. Obviously, was never arrested in South Africa. This guy has been a sleazeball since the day he was born. A complete, contemptible sleazeball. But, of course, the Democrats love him. That's why. We salute our armed forces, police officers, firefighters, emergency personnel, our truckers, freedom fighters all over the world. In Ukraine, we stand with you. Our brothers and sisters in Israel, we have your back. And especially in America, you, red-blooded Americans, God bless each and every one of you. I'll see you on Hannity in 20 minutes.